Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2020, and I am your host, Dave Hamilton, sitting in for Kelly Gaumont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Charlotte, thank you for joining me.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. We'll try and keep the show on the road without Kelly. Hand it back to her in a good state. You know?
Yeah, that's really all we can hope to do, I think.
Right.
Yeah. We have two things to talk about today. Yesterday, of course, here on TDO, we, and I just speak royally as the we talked about the new iPad Pro, and today, because Apple announced everything all at once, we're following up and talking about the changes to the Mac line, the updates to the Mac Mini, and the, I'll call it a new MacBook Air, although it's not.
Ooh.
Well, it's not new, but it kind of is. So let's start with that. Let me explain what I mean about the MacBook Air being new. It's the same form factor. Okay. That we had with the 2019 update to the 2018 MacBook Air. So this is essentially once every 6 to 8 months, we're seeing a significant change to this MacBook Air, which was ignored for a very long time. So I'm happy about that. The Air has long been my preferred travel machine. And it's actually the machine that I've been recommending for a lot of people as their daily driver for, you know, for just sort of general use stuff. That it really is a great machine. It's lightweight and the Retina screen and all of that good stuff. The updates that we saw this week, though, get interesting because the Air has previously been a dual core machine and you had the option of getting any processor you wanted so long it was the one that Apple chose to put in the Air. Now, though, you have a few more options, right?
It's not a walled garden, Dave. It's not a walled garden.
It's not, no. And it's interesting. Like, when this Air came out, I was a little confused because the difference between an Air and a MacBook Pro on the low end of the MacBook Pro was very sort of blurry. And then last year in June, Apple revved the low-end MacBook Pro, gave it a quad-core processor, gave it a touch bar, and the difference was remarkable. Not like astounding. I don't mean it remarkable that way, but I could easily remark upon the difference. It was very clear.
They were significantly different machines suddenly.
Suddenly. Yeah, in a good way. It was like, okay.
Right. It made sense.
Yep. You buy the Air, you buy the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Like, this is an easy thing to delineate. I mean, it was still only a $200 difference. Percentage-wise, that was a huge delta. Cost-wise, over sort of, you know, the six-year period that I think it would be useful for most folks, $200 may or may not make a difference. But still, there was a remarkable difference between the two. Very clear lines drawn. Until yesterday. So,
You're joining the John Martellaro Club of being annoyed at the kind of mix of products and the kind of messy line that suddenly is there.
I don't know that I'm upset about this. But it is a thing that requires a little bit more consideration now because the Air, all processors in the Air have been upgraded. So it's not like you can have the old one or whatever new ones they added. They've all been upgraded. They're all 10th gen Intel Core processors. The low end one, though, is an i3. Runs at 1.1 gigahertz, turbo boost to 3.2.
i3.
Correct.
I didn't realize it was quite that far down the line, I have to say.
It is. I've been doing some research. I'm pretty sure. We will follow up with even more geeky details on Mac Geek Gab on Monday, but I'm pretty sure that dual core i3 is not capable of hyper threading. But I might be wrong about it. That sometimes there's a processor that they kind of slide in the list there that doesn't get shown on the charts. So it's possible it has hyperthreading, but I'm not certain of that right now. So we've got this 1.1 gigahertz turbo boostable up to 3.2 gigahertz 10th gen Intel Core i3. And then that's the base model. And then you jump that up to an i5, which same base frequency, 1.1 gigahertz, but turbo boosts up to 3.5. That does have the ability to hyperthread, just like the old dual core, just like the old dual core processor did. I believe, based on the research we have, we don't have these machines yet, so it's hard to say for certain. But I'm pretty sure.
If Apple want to send us some to play with, please.
Well, we're on the list. I've already been in touch with them. They nice. Haven't sent one yet, but yeah, exactly. And then there is the option for an i7. But again, I want to highlight that for $100 difference from that i3, now and the price went down, right? Because the base model is $999, yes. right? So for that,
and if you want it for education, which I can see a lot of people being interested in, you know, a student going to university or something, it's actually $899 for education.
That's right. That's right. Oh yeah, absolutely. That's right.
So suddenly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very compelling price point. There's no doubt about it.
No. And so now you get a quad core i5 with, you know, for that, for $100 more, and for another $150 on top of the i5, or $250 above the base model, you get a quad core i7. And now, you know, so this machine at $1,249 US, less if you're education, is this quad core i7 processor with turbo boost and all of the things that you would expect. And it starts to be like, okay, well, wait a minute. What is the, where's the delineation now between yeah. this and the low end MacBook Pro? Because it's possible this chip is faster than the one in the low end MacBook Pro. Again, we haven't tested it yet, but it, like, that's an eighth gen chip, and, or a ninth gen chip, sorry. And then, you know, you've got the touch bar is there on the MacBook Pro. It's an eighth gen chip on the MacBook Pro. It still is. Yeah. So it's possible this one's faster for $50 less than.
I'm going to throw a conspiracy at you, Dave.
Hmm.
So, or even just a theory, it might not be a conspiracy theory. Can you envisage a time, given the upgrades we're now seeing to the Air, where the bog standard MacBook disappears from the line and you have Airs and Pros, and then they kind of consider the iPad Pro the lowest end, possibly portable device?
Yeah. I think that makes perfect sense to me. The current lineup doesn't. The MacBook, no, I don't even know where that's supposed to fit right now. You're right. I would not I cannot, in this moment anyway, I can't think of a scenario where I would say, okay, you should get a MacBook. You should get a MacBook Air. And I can't see the distinction between those two. I would just go with the Air for most people right now. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want something quite heavy duty that you're going to use a lot of the times as your daily driver and maybe travel with, you probably want one of the new MacBook Pros, the 16-inch ones we know are very, very nice devices, for instance. Yeah. And if you're looking more for something to travel, I would say the new iPads, the 2020 iPad Pros that was discussed on the show yesterday, and now these MacBook Airs all have a lot more to offer for the price points than maybe a MacBook now does. That's slightly because Apple has gone from neglecting the Air to neglecting the main MacBook a bit. But suddenly that looks to be the odd one out, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I've always felt a bit, never quite got my head around the Air, I have to say. I went from a MacBook Pro to a Mac Mini, which I know we'll come on to in a minute. And so I've never quite understood anyway where the MacBook sits within the line. And I particularly feel that now that the Air has, you know, when it first came out, and now that the Air has developed and been upgraded in this way.
Yeah.
And the thing about Apple, right, we know that the Steve Jobs obsession for years and years and years was having a clean, concise, focused product line.
Absolutely.
Now, that was really Cortes' philosophy from when he came back. So, but with every update to a product, we seem to get questions. We seem to have this conversation, maybe at 6 month intervals, trying to work out where each thing sits in the line. Now, I think, and I would recommend people read John's editorial on the website, because he's really put out some of the issues around the confusing messaging with the iPad Pro. And is that now a laptop, really? Is that how Apple sees it? And I think your points about the Air only actually exacerbate that as part of the lineup in general.
It does get confusing. Taking the MacBook out of it, I would lean people towards the Air now as the low end pro machine. Based upon what we can see on Apple's website. Once we've had the ability to sort of test these things, or at least other people have tested them, and we get some of these numbers and experiential stuff, that might change. But, I think the low-end MacBook Pro goes away. The MacBook goes away. You have the iPad Pro, as you said, and then you've got the higher-end MacBook Pro for an actual pro machine. I think that's it.
Well, it would certainly clear up the line. If you're not people like us who spend our whole day going through these things, but a normal person who just walks into a Apple store and says, I want a new computer, my 2015 whatever has died.
Yeah.
It's not immediately obvious anymore what you get next.
It is not immediately obvious, but again, I don't know. We're in a transition in the product line here for sure.
That's definitely what it feels like. Yeah. And that's definitely where some of this muddiness comes from.
Yeah, for sure.
I totally agree with that.
I was very happy with what transpired last year with the 2018 Air and then the 2019 Rev to the Air and the MacBook Pro that cleared it all up. So I'm going to put my faith in Apple on this one, that they're aware of how well that worked out, because they told me they were aware of how well that worked out. So I don't think they've lost sight of that is what I'm saying. If we go 6 months and we're not having the clarity conversation here, then I'll join you and complain about this. But for now, it's like, okay, I'm going to forget about the low end 13 inch MacBook Pro right now, because it seems like, unless you really want the touch bar, it seems like the Air would be the way to go. You can save $50 and, you know, you get a better or newer processor. Speaking of processors, I believe I was incorrect. Every processor in the Airs, the i3, the i5 and the i7, likely all have hyper-threading. And what that means is that the dual core i3 can actually run 4 threads and sort of act like a quad core in a sense. That you can read more about hyperthreading, but it adds more capability, more capacity to the processor for that. And the i5, the quad core i5, that one I'm pretty certain of which one it is. That one definitely has hyperthreading. And then the two i7s that I'm trying to decide. There's two i3s and two i7s that I'm trying to decide between which one they've used. I think they've ratcheted the top speed of them down, likely for heat reasons. But which is why it's a little weird looking at Intel's charts. But I'll put all five of the processors that I'm considering between in a link up. In the show notes here, so you folks can go and take a look, and then we'll see once we actually get the details if I was right or not. So there you go.
Nice.
Let's talk about the Mac Mini, shall we? We've got a few minutes left here.
Because everyone forgets about it. Even Apple forget about it, and I love the Mini.
I love the Mini, too. I think it's a great machine.
It makes
me
sad. It's like, it's a great machine. It makes me sad that it's kind of the run of the litter always. But they did upgrade it yesterday. They managed to shove right at the end of the press release all the details about the new Mac Mini, which I think just about sums the whole thing up, frankly.
Yeah.
There's just a ton of pictures of the new MacBook Air, which is very pretty. And then there's like a little paragraph about the Mini. at the end. But they've given it a bit of an upgrade. The standard configuration is now 256 gigabytes.
That's correct.
And you can go up to 512 of storage if you want to pay $10.99.
They've dropped, and those are lower prices than they used to be. So, like, that's
right.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
It's always been a competitively priced machine, and they've added to that.
Agreed.
I mean, just so a bit of context, my Mac Air, my Mini that I own, the Mini I own has a 256 gigabyte SSD, 8 gigabyte, 266 MHz DDR4 memory. So that's what I'm operating with. That's a 6-core i5 chip. It gets hot, Dave. One day I'm going to come and join you guys and cook you breakfast on my Mac Mini. I mean, that's not even a joke. You could fry an egg on this thing.
Yeah.
And that's, as I say, the i5, not even an i7 chip, which presumably gets hotter.
I know some folks in data centers that are, and this has nothing to do with yesterday's updates, but that have been concerned about running the i7 Mac Minis as server machines solely because of how hot they get, because of the kind of the heat profile of these things. But you did point out that the pricing comes down on this. You did point out that now the standard RAM, standard storage configuration starts at 256.
256, finally, because that was one of the biggest issues with the Mini. The only thing that made me not buy it straight away was how much stuff you can save on it, basically.
Yeah. And they did that with the Air too, right? 256
correct.
For the Air. Yeah.
And the reason I was happy to do it is because I have a big Dropbox account and I store a load of stuff in the cloud, and that's fine. But it's interesting the point you make about servers as well, because they do talk about it as an Xcode server. So, you know, they obviously still think it is capable of running that.
I think it is too, but I understand why folks who have to buy, say, 10 machines in a data center or something might be a little concerned about how long a machine like this could run, you know, doing server type tasks where it's running at, say, you know, 40 or 50% of the CPU all the time, as opposed to desktop usage where it sort of fluctuates between probably 15 and 60, you know, in that realm. So they did speed up the RAM on this to 2666 megahertz DDR4 RAM. So, yeah, I think
it probably needed more. I think it needed a bit more because it hasn't been updated. You know, it's been 18 months or whatever since it was updated. It was 2018, wasn't it? So it probably needed a bit more, but at least they've remembered they still have it.
They do. Oh, yeah. And I think probably come December, you know, we'll see new processors or something like that. It hit the Mac Mini as well. So, well, this is good. Well, Charlotte, that finishes out our time here today. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me. Very good.
And folks, thanks for listening. Please let us know what you think. Observations@macobserver.com, at TMO Daily on Twitter, in the show notes, wherever you want to find us. We would love to hear from you. Have a great day. Go wash your hands.